live the lazy.
At Pella of Wyoming, you get more value in more ways than one. For a limited time, get 20% off projects or 0% APR for 36 months. And that's just the start. Pella Windows and Doors deliver long-term savings with energy-efficient designs, industry-leading warranties, superior craftsmanship, and a team of dedicated experts to help you put it all together. Visit PellaSheridan.com/special offers and schedule your free consultation today.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items this Thursday and every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors Super Trailer Store, here to tell you we are completely stocked up with all types of aluminum and steel livestock trailers. We carry the most proven, durable brands like Wilson, Merritt, Murhau, and GR. With over 30-plus in-stock models available, we are eager to make you a deal you cannot resist. All types of trade-ins are accepted and financing is available. That's Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffin Avenue, and online at primeratemotors.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, August 26th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by the Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Operations Manager, Hannah Edwards, and Unleash Foundation founder and operator and shelter dog trainer, Marion Eccles. Good morning, ladies. Welcome
morning.
Back.
Good morning.
Well, are all the puppies gone, Marion?
No, well, they would be, except we have kennel cough. And the one that was supposed to get adopted on Saturday started showing signs Saturday morning. Mm-hmm. And so he has to wait until he's better.
So we'll talk about kennel cough in the second half, because there's something that you definitely want to kind of let the community know.
Yeah, yeah.
And we touched on it just a little before we cued the mics. And this is important information, folks. So go ahead and stick with us. Concerns the health of your animal,
yes,
especially if you're out walking around. When an animal, let's say the puppy who's got this kennel cough now, mm-hmm, has something like that come up, do you put it on hold?
Yeah.
You're like, okay, well, the animal is yours.
Right.
But we're just going to hang on to him or her.
Yeah.
And just
did
wait.
You, Hannah was more part of that mm-hmm particular one. Did you make the call or give them the choice?
So I did call the potential or the people who are going to adopt the puppy.
Yeah.
And I did, they had another dog in the household, and that was the biggest reason, is saying,
yeah,
this dog is showing symptoms. I'm going to leave that up to you. And of course they made the decision and said, you know, we'll wait until those symptoms are,
yeah,
done and,
yeah,
that dog's no longer sick. Don't want to bring it home to the other animals and stuff like that. And so,
yeah.
But then we started seeing a lot more of our dogs show symptoms. So then I made that decision to just kind of put all of them on hold right now.
So yeah, everything currently right now, you can go in, you can adopt an animal, but it's just not the best to take it home right now.
Correct.
On the dog department.
We're going to get this. The dog specifically. Yeah. Let's specify that. Thank you, Marion.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get them through this bout of kennel cough.
Yeah.
And you know, the things that you ladies have put up with over there. And I say you ladies, because there are gentlemen who work over there. But, gosh, you guys had an outbreak of some pretty intense stuff just a couple of years ago. What was that? You guys, you couldn't touch anything. You had to wear, like, Tyvek suits to go in.
Well, brucellosis.
There you go. That's what it was. Yeah. Holy goodness.
I mean, it's official. It's canine brucellosis.
Brucella canis, I think, is the technical term for canines.
Man,
yeah,
you guys have put up with a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. The procedures just to go in and clean a kennel. when that was going through.
And then what the animals go through, because they're completely isolated. We can't touch them unless we're fully gowned up. And they can't go outside because they can shed the bacteria on the ground where they walk. And so that truly for me is the hardest part, is not being able to, even the puppy right now, you know, if we give him one-on-one attention, you know, we have to just, we use a cleaner called Rescue. A lot of shelters use it. The ASPCA pushes it. It's very safe. But anyway, we spray that on ourselves after we engage in one of the dogs that have kennel cough. And that way we hopefully don't take it home or spread it around the shelter.
Yeah. And that's pretty nasty stuff. I mean, speaking of, all right, let's go ahead and jump in. Speaking of these puppies, Hannah, could you start by giving us an update on the shelter's current spay and neuter program? A lot of people want to know where this is at. What's available? Who qualifies?
Absolutely. So right now we do not have any funding. So right now we're out. We don't have a waiting list for people, just because that waiting list would probably be a year long for that list. Typically we get a donation once a month. That is always up in the air and when we get that donation. And it's a specific amount. I believe it's $500. And that goes strictly to the spay and neuter program. And then I think that typically covers maybe 5 or 6 vouchers a month, which is very low. Yeah. So a lot of people, you know, just come in every day. They call every day. And to be qualified for it, it's a low income assistance program for Sheridan County. And so I think that the requirements right now are $35,000 a year annually that you're supposed to make or less. Mm-hmm. And then you can be qualified for it.
Hannah, as you're sitting behind the desk, we're seeing costs go up across the board. Are you seeing costs go up for the care, maintenance of these animals, for the spay and neuters that are happening? And I'm not blaming vets out there for any of this. Okay. They've got to adjust everything just like we do.
Absolutely.
So are you seeing these costs just increase?
Absolutely. Really? Yes. Every day. Yeah. It's something new. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Something else is going up every day. Well, here we are. That's all I can say about that. Now, let's go ahead and talk about why spaying and neutering is so critical right now for Sheridan County and the surrounding areas. I mean, what's the situation look like out there as far as you can see? And the reason why I'm speaking specifically to you is because you're the one, you're getting all these strays. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about in the past how many of these animals come in and you're like, this dog has an owner somewhere. Mm-hmm. Somewhere somebody has got to be looking for this little guy.
Yeah.
So if we look at the ones that come in and you're like, no, this is just a stray. This is just kind of a borderline feral wild animal. Mm-hmm. What are we seeing?
Yeah. So we see all of it. When I feel like lately it's been a lot more dogs and cats that we know have owners. We've seen unfortunately, a lot more abandonment cases where, you know, for whatever reason, that's not my job to worry about that, right? I mean, various reasons on why people abandon their animals. But, you know, and then we're the only shelter, and so we take them in, and I mean, we just get more full and more full and more full, and it's sad. And then, so I feel like this year we've seen less strays, I would say.
Yeah.
Now, are we, do we got kennels in the garage?
Yes. Yeah.
We're at that point.
And those are small, you know, wire crates. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, they're not kennels that a dog can maintain a healthy life in.
Yeah.
You know.
Marion, we were getting down that list of turn-ins. What's it look like now?
Well, you know, last month our adoptions were pretty good. Most of them were the puppies. Half of them were the puppies. So I think we had 10 or 11 dog adoptions last month. And this month we're at a standstill, and now we have kennel cough.
Yep.
So, that's going to, although we know of 2 more dogs that would go out this week for sure.
Yeah.
Aside from, so they'll leave next month when the dogs are healed. But Yeah, we adoptions have slowed way down, and strays that don't get reclaimed are way up. Mm-hmm. So if someone is missing their dog, if you hear out there of anybody who has lost their dog and can't find it, be sure they call the shelter or dispatch up at the police department.
Now, Hannah, the reason why I asked about those dogs is even if they're not just outright borderline feral dogs out there wandering around, they're being abandoned. I mean, like you said, you know, you're seeing a lot more of that.
Yes.
Spay and neuter could have helped with that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah.
We don't know, especially with cats. I mean, young kittens can start having, start mating and repopulating and having litters and litters and litters. And so
I believe it's like 6 months old for cats.
I think it's less than that, to be honest.
Do you?
Yes. Wow. And so, you know, and then they can have what, up to 12 cats per litter, you know? And so, and then it's just the cycle continues. And same with dogs, you know, and it's just, it keeps going and going and going. And then of course, going into the overpopulation, you start looking at inbreeding and genetics and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of these animals will have behavioral issues, health issues, you know, the older that they get, that you typically haven't seen in the past, just because overpopulation, you know, is just getting worse and worse.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's not like there's a bunch of animals coming in from out of town.
Right.
You know, these are the same animals getting together.
Yeah.
Over and over and over again. I mean, it's an issue.
Yes.
You
know?
And 3-4 generations down the line, it'll be a big issue.
Yes.
Yeah. That's why spay neuter is just so important. It's like the root of the problem, you know. And we don't have a lot of spay neuter program here in Sheridan right now.
Yeah.
And so if anybody wants to make a donation, make sure you specify on your donation that it's supposed to go towards the spay neuter program.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll get more each month to be able to offer to other people.
Absolutely.
The more of these animals get spayed and neutered, and it's going to take time. I mean, because the population's already up there pretty high.
Yeah, yeah.
And so start the program now. I mean, I would just love to see like a massive influx of individuals taking this step to really kind of get control over this animal population. And folks, if you really want to see the animal population problem, go up to the shelter.
Yeah, yes.
Take a visit.
Yeah.
And just listen outside of that door for a minute.
Yeah.
And you'll realize how many dogs and cats are up there right now.
Yeah. Kittens. Kitten room is packed.
All right. I got to take a break. But before I go, I do want to get to this. Hannah, you mentioned the last vaccine clinic of the year coming up in September.
That is correct.
What services are going to be offered at this one?
So same as before, we offer rabies for both cats and dogs, distemper for dogs, FVRCP for cats, city dog license, and then now we're offering microchips as well. Okay. And that's new.
All right. Now, how did you guys get on this microchip program?
A lot of it's the overpopulation. We see a lot of animals coming in and they would go home and either go home in general or in a more timely manner if they were microchipped. That's the first thing we do with any stray that comes in. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now do people have to opt in on this one? They show up and they're like, hey, I want vaccines.
Absolutely.
I want the chip. I want it all.
Yes.
Do you do like a precursory scan over to see if there's a chip inside already?
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now, you guys actually have a tool that identifies multiple companies' microchip, right? Because there's more than one company.
There's probably, I don't know, maybe 50, if not more.
Okay.
There's a lot.
Let's say I got a dog from somebody years ago. Me and he's my best friend now. Mm. I didn't know he was microchipped. I take him in there to get some vaccines. It's his time. You start sticking and poking him, scan him, and you're like, oh, hang on a second. We've got old information here. Can I update that information with you, or is that something I got to go do on my own?
That is something that you'll have to do on your own.
Okay.
What we could do for people is identify what company that's through and give them that information to reach out to them. But it's you should be able to call, just say, hey, I adopted or was given this dog X, Y, and Z or cat, whatever, and I'm the new owner and I want to update the information, and they should be able to do that for you.
Okay. Now, one more question, I promise. We'll get on to how people can jump onto this. I'm just trying to think about every scenario in my head. How many of these companies have folded, to your knowledge? And I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I know.
It's not like you got shares in that or anything. But if a company has folded, they no longer offer that service. The microchip is null and void, or?
You know, I think that's a very good question. If, don't quote me, but my assumption is that that information will still pop up on our end. So for an example, Found Animals is the company that we used to use. However, they were bought out by 24 Pet Watch. So during that integration, it would just direct us to 24 Pet Watch. They took over Found Animals info. If it just completely disappeared, my assumption is that when we look up that microchip information, that info, that owner information should still pop up.
Uh-huh.
But that's just my assumption.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess I would ask, you know, if the company's folded, there's no way for me to change the information on the chip. Can I get a new one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's only the size of a grain of rice. Sometimes they migrate, sometimes they can migrate out, which is rare, but it doesn't hurt to get another one.
Okay. Now, listeners want to take advantage of the September clinic. I do know you do have to make an appointment now.
That is correct. We have 24 slots available total. It's from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., and then booking will be open September 1st. So you can either call us at the shelter or book online on our website.
All right. There you go, folks. Get on that list. Double check Fido's records. It might be time. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter right after this. Stay with us. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Bon Voyage. Reserve your spot to sail away. Join Judy Fuller and Latitude Travel for an unforgettable 8-day Viking River cruise to Paris and Normandy, April 29th. Dock in the heart of Paris. See the Eiffel Tower from your ship. Walk the historic Normandy beaches and wander Monet's stunning gardens. Celebrate France's history, art, and cuisine all in one trip. Hold your cabin now for just $25 per person. Packages start at $3,499. Call Julie or Rick at Latitude Travel of Wyoming, 674-0656. 674-0656.
Want to see fences that work for both wildlife and livestock? Sheridan Community Land Trust's new wildlife-friendly fence demonstration at the Big Goose Natural Area lets you see traditional fences side-by-side with styles that help wildlife pass safely and keep livestock secure. This project is made possible by the Plank Stewardship Initiative, Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's Outdoor Fund, and donors and volunteers like you. Get inspired. Learn more at SheridanCLT.org.
It's almost time for the kids to go back to school. And you want to make sure they get there, right? Well, take the car to Midas for a back-to-school checkup. Midas checks fluids, belts, tires, brakes, battery, coolants, and more. And if you need tires, save up to $140 on Cooper tires. Transportation is a very important part of actually getting them back to school. Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan, home of the lifetime warranty on brakes, shocks, struts, mufflers, and now tires.
Summer is here and the water is clear. Time to fish your bass off for another great year. Rod in your hand, feet in the sand, sun on your shoulders, your catch looking so grand. Snap a photo of your fish, then head online
to SheridanMedia.com for prizes so fine. Win $300 from Connect Home Center and $300 more. From Century 21 BHJ, now that is a score. Enter on the contest page before Labor Day. But why wait around? Cast your entry today.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with Sheridan Dog and Cat Shelter Operations Manager, Hannah Edwards, and Unleash Foundation founder and operator, and shelter dog trainer, Marion Eccles. All right, now I promised you folks, and we were going to talk about some stuff, and we're running out of time, so I'm going to kind of skip forward on this. Kennel cough.
Yeah.
Marion, we had about a kennel cough among our dogs probably 2 weeks ago, if that.
Yeah.
And, you know, outside of the emotional damage of I can't do anything to help them.
Yes.
They're just miserable.
Oh, I know. Like a really bad cold.
Yeah.
Or COVID, you know.
And Archer's old.
You got to worry get about it. Too?
Oh, yeah.
I know Hugo had it.
Hugo had it bad. He had it bad. So what is it exactly?
I always say it's the equivalent to a human cold. And you can vaccinate for it. You can talk to your veterinarian. I'm pretty sure you can only get it through the vets. I'm not sure.
I believe so.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's not a for sure type of vaccination. It's kind of like the human cold. You know, if you get a flu vaccine, you might still catch a cold or get the flu.
Depends on the variant,
it
right?
It does. It does. And that's exactly what kennel cough is like.
Yeah.
To the dogs. So.
And so when we look at symptoms, how do I know my dog's got kennel cough?
Well, the first sign is coughing. Mm-hmm. You know, if your dog like clears its throat, seems to clear its throat more than usual, or if it never does, then it could be the start. You know, we had one dog start on Thursday. And I was like, nah, how could he? And he hasn't met another dog lately. And then by Saturday. So by Friday, I think we'd pretty much diagnosed him. And then Saturday is when more dogs started showing up with it. So
now, are there certain dogs, age, breed, health conditions that are more at risk from developing
this? Mostly age. You know, similar to the flu, if they're older or have a immunodeficiency, then they're more. And the dog that did get it, he has
potential autoimmune disease.
Yes.
We are trying to do some testing. It can be very expensive to do that with a specific dog, but that's our assumption is he has some sort of autoimmune disease.
Oh,
yeah. And the treatment we've been giving him has helped him tremendously. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. And yes, you know, I've got kind of an advantage. I mean, worked over there with you guys for how many years? And as soon as Hugo coughed, she just froze and she just stared at him for about 5 minutes, waiting for him to cough again.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, I know that sound.
Yes.
We've got it. Yep. And as soon as one's got it, it goes through all of them.
Yes, it does.
It spreads like wildfire. Like a cold in a barracks. Someone's
kids
got it
in
on
school.
The other. Yep. Yeah, there you go.
You know?
So you do have a theory.
Yes.
That you've kind of piecemealed together.
Yes, it just came to me yesterday. Our dogs are only exposed to other dogs if they are potentially going to go home for an adoption. So we have a meet and greet and make sure the dogs get along and you know, assess that dynamic before they go home. And he had not met any other dog, and he was the first one I heard cough. And I'm in both sides. I'm in the stray side. I'm around all the dogs every day. And I'm like, Vic just coughed. I had him around. I went to the hub to see some, you know, to show him off to the elderly or whoever shows up there. And then the Sugarland Cascades the very next day. But, you know, he doesn't get it from people. And so I could not figure out how he's our ground zero dog, how he could have picked it up. But then I realized after I left the hub, I went downtown and was going through the different stores that are pet friendly, so many, and a lot of the stores put bowls of water outside for dogs to drink on hot days, which I think is wonderful. But I of course allowed Vic to do that, and that is probably the most likely way he got it.
Yeah.
Probably a dog who had kennel cough, had taken a drink out of it, just like sharing a cup of water, you know, or kissing or something like that with the cold, you know. So he probably picked it up and brought it in that way.
You know, it's always difficult because it's like, you know, what do I do? When my little guy's got kennel cough, I can't just hide him in the house. You know, yeah. Got to go out for a walk, got to kind of see stuff. But maybe if they're coughing, folks, just keep them
short walks.
Your neighborhood.
Yeah.
Short walks or isolated walks up on a trail or something. I mean, get them out. That's one thing that I can't stand is the dogs that are kind of literally kenneled up all day.
Yeah.
So, you know, but if they're coughing, it's probably best to stay around the neighborhood or even just go out there on a remote trail somewhere. Because we don't want this stuff spreading around. I mean, it's not really fatal.
No. Right.
I mean, it's not fatal. But we still don't want that.
But
I mean,
miserable.
They're miserable.
They don't feel
really
good.
And, geez, it takes... I mean, technically, we'll have to be on lockdown for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At least.
Yeah, and if it gets up to the shelter, holy cow, everything goes to not even a crawl. It's a freeze.
Yeah.
An absolute freeze. And we don't want the puppies, you know, and we've already got one.
Right.
So don't want them picking it up. All right. Now, finally, for listeners who want to help, whether by donating, volunteering, or just spreading the word, what's the best way to support the shelter and the Unleashed Foundation?
You threw me off. I wasn't ready for a question like that.
I think times are tough. So my first go-to isn't financially. I think that people who donate animal food, blankets and sheets, that it may seem so small, but that makes such a difference. Cleaning supplies. I mean, we aren't picky. We'll use stuff that's used. If people want to donate their time, you know, I mean, volunteering, it's very tricky. People want to, you know, play and stuff, which they're more than welcome to do on a day-to-day basis. But if people want to volunteer cleaning, you know, working with the animals that have to be isolated or whatever, I think that is... you know, that makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think about how many dog toys and bones and things that we go through.
Yeah.
And we only have three.
Yeah.
I can only imagine the amount of toys and bones you guys have to go through.
And they go through. And then especially when they're sick, cats too, right? Yeah. I mean, when animals are in isolation, we throw all of that stuff away. We don't even try to wash it.
Yeah.
Just to be safe. So it does. We go through all that stuff really fast.
So you're cleaning out grandma's old linen closet. You got a bunch of stuff. Keep the quilts, folks. But other than that, say like old, you know, wolf blankets, things like that. I can bring them down?
Absolutely. Yeah, the only thing that we try not to take in are comforters like with feathers in them, you know, a lot of stuffing just because dogs get bored and they tear things up.
Yeah.
And that becomes a toy.
And then, you know, and I think, you know, besides the mess, obviously we don't mind cleaning that up. It's them ingesting it since we can't watch them 24/7.
Yeah.
Yeah. The stuffing in the other dog toys. I mean, I'm not going to say that it's non-toxic because I don't know it for sure.
Yeah.
But I always get worried about that.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Because Gertie. Boy, howdy. She doesn't want to just chew on it, right? She wants to gut that
thing.
She wants to gut it, so it's everywhere. So I make sure I get that stuff picked up as soon as possible because I just don't know for sure. All right, Mary and Hannah, thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It is always a pleasure having you ladies on. I really do appreciate what you do.
No, thanks.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we return, we're going to speak with Sheridan Community Land Trust. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE, 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
You're on the go, and so should your banking.
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or on the First Federal app.
It's banking on your time wherever you are.
Plus, we're celebrating 90 years of community commitment, proudly serving Sheridan and the people who make it great.
Banking made easy with the community at heart.
Visit efirstfederal.bank to get started today. First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years strong, member FDIC.
Dude, Rootstock is coming to Landon's Greenhouse.
Rootstock? What's that?
Rooted in Wyoming's annual fundraiser. $30 gets you amazing local food from Ola's Market, local beer, and live music from Dave Munsick. Plus, donations are matched by the Standish Family Fund.
Rooted in Wyoming taught my kids soils and worms.
Yeah, so bring your friends and family and items for the food drive. Help connect the community through local food.
Rootstock, Saturday, September 6th, 12 to 3 at Landon's Greenhouse. Get tickets at rootedinwyoming.org.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Have your dryer vents been cleaned recently? As a leading cause of home fires, Captain Clean recommends dryer vent cleaning every 6 months. Our specialized equipment allows us to reach every inch of your dryer vent to ensure peace of mind. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 and sign up for our fire protection plan, where we pre-schedule the dryer vent cleanings for you so you never forget. Call Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Doug, we really got to stop meeting like this.
Let me guess, mailbox again?
This time it was a decorative boulder. I swear it rolled into my car.
Bob the Wearing Chevrolet Body Shop has you covered. Dents, dings, bumpers, bruises. We've seen a lot worse. Remember the guy who tried to wax his car with cooking spray?
Okay, I feel better now.
Our crew will fix it right, match the paint perfectly. It's what we do.
Wearing Chevrolet Body Shop. Fast, friendly, fully prepared for whatever you run into. 107 East Alger, wearingsheridan.com.
Hey, it's Taylor, front of house manager at Frackleton's. Think of me as your host for the night, opening the door, setting the tone, and making sure everything flows just right. Our server team is dedicated to making your dining experience exceptional. They're not just order takers, they're matchmakers, pairing you with flavors, cocktails, and moments you'll love. Every detail, every time, because great food is just the beginning. Book your table early at Frackleton's.com. Frackleton's, Main Street, downtown Sheridan.
This is Joe Hando of Hando Service Center, and I absolutely credit Gene Sterling and Sheridan Media for the ongoing success of my business. Not a week goes by that someone doesn't stop and say that they love my radio ads on Sheridan Media. What I appreciate is knowing that as a small business owner, I am just as important as the big guys, and maybe even more. My radio ads have won awards, in turn brings me new business. So thank you, Gene, and thank you, Sheridan Media. Good folks doing good business.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I am joined by the marketing and development contractor with the Sheridan Community Land Trust. You know him, you love him, Mr. Chris Verba. Good morning, buddy.
Great morning, Floyd. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are things over there in Jersey?
Not too bad. We have had a nice run of pretty cool weather where we've been in the 70s and 80s and not so humid. Thank you, Hurricane Aaron.
Kind of blowing past you there, huh?
It was pretty wild to see some of the flooding coming in. Our area didn't get hit by it, but you could see downshore where, people were standing and letting the waves just come up and pound them. It's definitely a different setting here in the valley below the Manhattan Mountains.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, we put up with some pretty tough winters, but one thing I don't have to deal with is hurricanes. All right.
That is true.
Chris, let's get started with the Big Goose Natural Area. This is a fantastic area out there, folks. If you haven't gone out and seen it yet, I highly suggest that you do. What's new out there, Chris, right now that the community should know about?
Well, what just went in the ground last week was our incredible new bird wingspan sign. And look, I know just sticking a sign in the ground doesn't sound like, man, that's a really cool addition, although I promise you it is. What's particularly cool about this bird wingspan sign is the community collaboration that came together to allow this sign to take flight. So what the sign is this, it's this really cool painted wooden sign that has six different species of birds you can find at the Big Goose Natural Area. Not that you'll always find them, but that they are residents of the Big Goose Natural Area, so you can have an opportunity to see them. And it starts all the way down with the calliope hummingbird, which is our smallest bird, and then all the way out to a golden eagle.
Wow.
Yeah. So obviously quite a span of wingspans, right? But that alone isn't the real fun part about this, though. I promise you, getting up, standing next to it and showing your wingspan next to all these bird wingspans is a ton of fun. It's the collaboration, again, that came together to make it possible. So one of our fantastic volunteers, Tim Koenig, put in the time to actually design this sign and get it all set up to cut out. And then he worked with the awesome folks over at Forge Makerspace right there in Sheridan. So they allowed Tim to be able to get onto the fancier equipment that most folk don't have, like, in-home access to, right? And allowed him to take his designs and bring them to life on their machines. Of course, cutting out the sign is only part of it, right? So you got to be able to make it look like birds and make it look cool. And so that's where Ashley Cooper, along with about 10 kids, very talented young artists from the Sheridan County YMCA's Make Your Mark Art Camp, gave us some help. And I want to give them a quick shout out real quick. That's Anwin Fack, Delilah Cassidy, Finley Dimple, Hannah Harlan, Jacob Hyde, Cadence Gully, Kelsey Smothers, Levi Coltisco, Remington Brown, and Riley Hart. And so all of those kids, as part of their time at the Make Your Mark Art Camp, just had this incredible opportunity to not just learn and paint the sign itself, but they actually spent time talking about different color schemes, how to make the designs work together. They discussed different ideas about what, like, a background for the sign should be like. So they had a, like, work on collaboration and working together to create this project. And then they also got to go out and actually tour some local businesses that helped them mix paint. The awesome folks helped them out with that. And it's just a really fun project all the way around.
And
now you can come out to the Big Goose Natural Area, and it's right there for everybody to see.
It's a fantastic community collaboration. And, you know, for decades to come, those little ones can go out there and look at that, you know, as they grow up. And who knows, maybe even with their kids, I'm sure it'll have to be painted at some point. But be able to say, you know, I was a part of that. Putting that together. And that's community pride right there in the best of ways. Thank you, Forge Makerspace, and thank you, YMCA Art Camp, for coming together and really getting that done. Fantastic job by everybody involved.
And also, you know, the sign was also made possible thanks to donated lumber from Heritage Woodworks here in town, as well as Imperial Powder Coating powder coating the brackets on the sign. So, really took a lot of hands to make fun work in this case. And, you know, it's part of, so you'll be able to come find the sign. It went in the ground last week, and it's right at the main trailhead by our office. So you'll very clearly see it when you come out and visit us. If you're not familiar, that's 14 Lane, just a few miles west of Sheridan. Follow Laux out on the Big Goose and take a turn. Right there, you'll see our sign out at the bridges area. And while you're out there, come out and check out. We got over 2 miles of mowed trail that's accessible currently. So there's plenty of opportunity to come out and enjoy the weather, especially, you know, it really presents a fantastic opportunity as we move into fall. And the days shorten a little bit, you still have an opportunity to come out our way, especially if you're looking for that early morning or after work type of outdoor experience with your family. As that sun comes down sooner, it gets a little harder to get up to the mountain and back to town. Come on out our way. You'll get peace, tranquility, and a ton of fun outdoors.
And, you know, for anybody thinking, you know, hey, this is just a sign, I want you to imagine how many little kids are going to have their photo taken in front of that. How many visitors are going to stand there with their arms out wide, just comparing themselves to a beautiful golden eagle, which I'm going to tell everybody right now is a lot bigger than you think it is. All right. Also, out there, Big Goose, you guys have actually done a lot of work. You've replaced some old fencing with that wildlife-friendly fencing. Now, Chris, what makes these fences better for wildlife?
Oh, well, I mean, simply they allow opportunities for wildlife to pass through more safely. They have an opportunity to reduce entanglement. That's especially true because of the spacing of the wires. So most of the fence on the property at the Big Goose Natural Area is designed with a smooth wire for the top and bottom strands, and then there are still two barbed wire strands in the middle. But the spacing on those strands is set quite wide, and the fence is kept quite tight so that when wildlife, like a deer, for example, will go over the top of it and jump, if their back foot kind of kicks the top smooth braid, it has far, far less of a chance of being able to get entangled up there. And then because you've raised where the bottom strand sits, you're not down near as close to the bottom, especially the case on those woven wire fences. You also give the ability for animals to get underneath, and that's especially important for your younger, for fawns and other young wildlife, because that helps make sure that those animals are at less risk of being separated from their mothers. You know, mothers usually can pass through the fence, but of course the smaller ones can't always get over the top of a fence, even when you set it at a low level. So those are two important improvements. So along with the wildlife-friendly fence out at the Big Goose Natural Area, we've set it up to be a demonstration site. So I'm talking about the main fence that we've converted the entire property to. We've removed fences where possible because, the friendliest fence of all, of course, is no fence, right? But removing your fence doesn't always meet your needs from a ranching perspective. So we have set up sites where we have tie-down and drop-down fences and lay-downs so that you can see some of the differences of these styles right next to a small section of the old fence. And what we hope that does is by being able to have it on display in a public setting where you can see it directly and get up and touch it and feel it and see what it's like, I'm sure nearly everyone who listens probably has a lot of experience feeling what a fence is like. But being able to see it with your own two eyes and take a look at it, we hope that helps inspire folks to maybe consider implementing those type of changes on their land. And good news, if you are so inclined, please contact us. We would love to help you find ways to be able to make your land more wildlife friendly on the fences. It's important for livestock. It's important for your ranching operation. And it can also help local wildlife too. So it's really done with agricultural production in mind. And then of course the wildlife benefits add on to that. So it's a fantastic opportunity.
Yeah, Chris, let's talk about, just touch on that opportunity a little bit more for folks, because, I think there's a lot of producers out there who think, you know, I'd love to be able to help out with that, but I got so much dang fencing that would really require a lot of work and money. That may be the only thing that's truly stopping them from taking this action. What are some of the opportunities they can take advantage of through SCLT to help them mitigate some of these things?
Well, so contact us, number one. One thing SCLT does is we will work to organize community volunteers who can help lighten the load for your fence management. So in the case of converting to a wildlife-friendly fence, we can work with you and ideally, we can line up some volunteers and come out and have a little bit of fun helping make your converting your old style fence into a wildlife friendly fence. In fact, that's partially how the wildlife friendly fence at the Big Goose Natural Area came about. Back in May, we had community volunteers came out and helped us get the rest of it removed. Through the Powder River Fence Initiative, we were able to access a wire winder that also helped make that project much easier. It's something SCLT's been doing now for a few years. You know, we've done projects on friendly fencing in the Parkman area, where we've had community volunteers. We've done some right out at Sheridan College right there along the road going to Bighorn, where we've helped them remove and replace fence. We've also done it. We had a really fun day up on Soldier Ridge last summer where we were able to help prepare a segment of fence. And let's see, we've also done them out at the Thorn Rider camp up in Story. And there's probably a couple others I'm forgetting off the top of my head. But it's been a lot of fun being able to get out there and do that.
And I'll tell you what, you know, you got to repair the fences every year anyway, folks. You got to go out there, you got to take a look at it, you got to put those staples in, so you might as well get a hand getting that done and improve the migration. I mean, we live right here in their migration territory. So it's easier and it's better for everybody. Go down, have a conversation with Sheridan Community Land Trust. Chris, one more thing that I wanted to touch on with you is something that I've always been pretty enthusiastic about, and that's stream restoration at Big Goose. You guys have really taken a lot of steps out there. As you said, you've kind of turned it into a demonstration area, and I think it's fantastic. Folks can go there. They can look at these streams. It'll improve even more as the years roll on. Could you just touch on what's been done out there and what folks could see if they've got a stream going through their property? How can they take advantage of that?
Well, I guess to touch more directly on the Big Goose Creek restoration. So this was 2 weeks ago now. We had a group of volunteers come out, and they worked with our partners, with Tina Kruger and Steady Stream Hydrology, on what we call the second phase of a four-phase project that has been supported by the Powder River Basin Chapter of Trout Unlimited, as well as the Homer A. and Mildred S. Scott Foundation. So phase one, we did a little bit of drone imagery to help us assess what's happening with the stream out there. Phase two, which we're in right now, helps identify priority areas for stream work. And so these volunteers who came out learned from a real professional like Tina about what goes into actually doing these assessments. So they got to actually help us collect data that Tina will actually implement, use to implement some restoration recommendations and actual work that improves Big Goose Creek down the line. So they were doing pebble counts on your sediment. They were taking velocity and temperature and all that fun kind of stuff, which I got to say, I'm a little sad I didn't get to be there for it personally, because that's
science, man.
Kind of stuff the kind of stuff I really like getting to do. So moving forward from there, we have a design phase, and then it moves into construction with that. And so, again, continuing on the roll with community partnerships, we are planning to partner with the Sheridan County Conservation District because they have a lot of experience working on large projects for stream restoration in Sheridan County. So they'll be helping us work to secure funding and complete work to stabilize the stream. We're going to work to make it as ADA fishing accessible as possible, as well as improve some infrastructure protection. You know, we do have a bridge over the creek that gets us back into the Big Goose Natural Area. And there's certainly infrastructure protection all around that area. You know, the Scott Foundation has the Bridges Center right there, that lovely new space that they've been working hard to remodel.
Chris, real quick, I hate to cut you off. I got 2 minutes left. I just want to touch on the upcoming discovery sessions for folks. Could you real fast give me your 30-second plain air sketching at Big Goose?
Hey, that's coming up Thursday, September 4th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. It's at the Big Goose Natural Area, and Randy Stout will be leading our drawing and sketching session. No experience necessary. It's free to attend, and it's a partnership with Sage Community Arts. And then coming up later in September, we have Artifacts of the Big Goose Creek Walking Tour for our September Explore History. And our old friend and current director of the museum at the Bighorns, Carrie Ida Edinger, is going to share visuals of photographs, objects, and other items from the museum's collection that relate to Sheridan Brewery, Sheridan Manufacturing Company, the flour mill, the Mandel Cabin, and Big Goose Creek. And for y'all folk who longtime listeners or attendees, Carrie's actually the person who created the Big Goose Creek walking tour several years ago when she was our history program manager. So it really comes full circle as we move into this. Will actually be the start of the fifth year of SCLP Explore History, which is also pretty fantastic. So those programs are Tuesday, September 9th at the Hub on Smith from 10 to 11:30 a.m. and Tuesday, September 16th at the TRVCC up in Dayton from 10:30 p.m. to 12 noon. They're both free to attend. Come on out, open to everybody. All of these projects you can learn more about on Sheridan, on our website at SheridanCLT, like CommunityLandTrust.org. And Floyd, I made one mistake earlier on talking about wildlife-friendly fence demonstration. I forgot to mention that the project was completed with support from the Plank Stewardship Initiative and the Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops Outdoor Fund. We had great community volunteers to help make the projects possible. Our incredible SCLT summer interns and our friends at Black Fern Fencing helped finish out the project. So come on out, learn more, SheridanCLT, like CommunityLandTrust.org.
Chris, I want to thank you so much for calling in, buddy. I'm looking forward to more of them fishing photos. You're pulling up some pretty crazy things. Folks, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Volunteers of America.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Redgrade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides, perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
It's lights, camera, action for the 8th Annual YO Film Fest presented by the Standish Family Fund. It all kicks off on Thursday, October 2nd with feature documentary Remaining Native. The Friday night feature is World Without Cows, a film that tells the importance of cattle to Wyoming's people and environment. New this year, bring the kids for Saturday morning cartoons at 9 a.m., a family-friendly block of animated short films with a colorful mix of styles for kids and adults. Pajamas encouraged. Enjoy a cereal bar, breakfast treats, coffee, and Bloody Marys for the grown-ups. Then at 10:30, it's Wake Up with Wyoming, short films made in Wyoming by Wyoming filmmakers or inspired by life in this beautiful state. See the complete lineup and get individual tickets or buy a festival pass, good for the whole weekend. The 8th Annual YO Film Fest, October 2nd through October 5th. Get your tickets now at yofilmfest.org.